What were your ambitions growing up? What were you ambitious to be? An astronaut? A firefighter? A doctor? The striker for Manchester City? An athlete? A tennis player? I was never really particularly ambitious. Maybe I'm a bit of a slacker on the quiet. I didn't really have any burning ambitions. My goals growing up were a bit odd, I suppose. For a while, I fancied being a dentist, probably because I'd spent so much time in the chair of pain, having teeth out, fillings, braces on the top and bottom teeth. Then I found out that I would need to have 3 science O-levels. That's GCSEs for any young people in here. I was banned from physics in year 10 because I was so bad at it. So that put pay to that one. Then I thought I might be a librarian. But that's probably because the school library was the best place to skive off during a wet lunchtime. Then I thought, maybe I could be a missionary to Africa. But they wanted people who were good linguists. I scraped a pass in French, literally scraped a pass in French, and I had an accent that was pretty much indecipherable. So that never got off the ground either. In all of these plans, I didn't have a single mind or a drive or an ambition to successfully propel me to the goal. In Philippians 3, we see Paul's ambition laid bare, his single-minded pursuit of a goal, and that is the transformative citizenship of heaven. When you read Paul's works, he's used to using metaphors based in his world. I've got 4 examples for you. Use military metaphors, like the armour of God. Architecture metaphors describing our body as the temple of God. Agriculture metaphors, sowing, reaping, and athletics. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. This passage is littered with references to athletics. It could be a relay race where the runners strive and strive to get there first and pass the baton on to the next one. Or it could be a chariot race. The chariots Paul was talking about weren't like ones you see in the film Ben-Hur. Flashy, well-built, covered in white and gold. They were little more than a plank of wood between 2 wheels. So the charioteer had to do a lot. Balancing on a small platform, steering, urging the horses onwards. That phrase, straining towards what is ahead, really relates to that runner or charioteer stretching, urging themselves on as in a race, reaching out with all the power and energy they can muster to win the prize. They are, we should be, ambitious, eager, excited to reach the winning line, to be winning Christians, fulfilling our purpose. Paul is urging us to have that one new ambition. But how do we achieve that? I've got 4 qualities, 4 D's for you. The first one is dissatisfaction. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. He is never, never satisfied to sit back and say, I've done all I can to be a good follower of Jesus. He's always looking to be better. But his dissatisfaction isn't with Jesus. Jesus was and is and always will be enough. He is complete, the source of all we need as Christians. So Paul, the great evangelist, the epic missionary, the intellectual, the teacher, the church planter, Paul was never satisfied with what he had done. He always wanted to do more, to know more, to be more holy, to become more like Jesus. Paul, like so many of us, needed a challenge, needed to avoid self-satisfaction, resting on his laurels to keep growing in faith. So many of us are comparison freaks. We look at others and see if they are better than or worse than us in so many different ways. It can be the same with our spiritual life. We look around and say, I'm more holy than them, or I'm not as holy as they are. Such an easy way to think, to judge, or to condemn. But if Paul, who if anyone has the right to sit back and judge, if Paul is dissatisfied with his discipleship journey, we should be dissatisfied with ours. Instead of looking to others and saying we're doing better than they are, we should look to Jesus and say we will never be good enough. We need to realise we haven't achieved the perfection of Jesus or arrived at the goal, citizenship of heaven. But we still need to press on, to strive, to learn and to grow. The sign of growing maturity in Christ is awareness that we're not mature enough. We need more. We need to be self-aware to know ourselves. So when I'm interviewing, part of my job, when interviewing potential new recruits, I always like the questions about self-awareness. What do others think of you? How would they describe you? What are your weaknesses and strengths? These show just how self-aware a candidate is, and the way they answer them often makes a difference to the outcome of the interview. Well, at least in my eyes. But with self-knowledge, we have to avoid two traps: making ourselves better than we are and making ourselves worse than we are. Paul didn't do either. He knew himself. He knew where he stood with Jesus and longed to be better. The words from Psalm 41 express his feelings. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Second D is devotion. A little phrase keeps getting repeated across the Bible. One thing. The story of the rich young ruler, do you remember? Jesus looked at him, loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then follow me. Mary and Martha. There is only one thing worth being concerned for. Mary has discovered it. It will not be taken away from her. Jesus healed the blind man who said, one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. In Psalm 27, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The Christian life has a focus, one thing, running the Christian race. Winners, the ones who are not distracted, they focus on their goal. Think Novak Djokovic, who'll be playing on the centre court this afternoon, while the civic service is on. Think Novak Djokovic. The intense devotion and concentration he shows on the tennis court makes him a winner. Not necessarily popular with those watching, but he is a winner. As Christians, we aren't in a popularity contest. We're in a race to heaven. We live for, focus on, aim for that which matters most. Direction. We have one direction. Forward. We don't look back at the things that we've done, the things we've left behind, but look solely to what is ahead. The relay analogy works for this one. The runner taking the baton doesn't look back. If they do, they stumble and fall. What is past is done. Their aim is to run as fast as they can in their leg of the race. If they look back, they may move from their lane, collide with other runners, not finish the race. We, the believers, must be future-oriented, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead. Forgetting, Paul doesn't mean failing to remember. That's pretty much impossible for us, barring accident or illness. Forgetting means no longer influenced by or affected by. God does this. Hebrews 10:17 says, their lawless acts I will remember no more. It's not saying God has a bad memory. It says, their sins, your sins, my sins, will not affect my attitude to you. God breaks the hold of past mistakes, past errors, past disasters, breaks the power of the past, because with him, we are living for the future. I, for one, am really glad of this. Am I the only one here who's suddenly, out of the blue, remembers some trivial embarrassment or mistake at the weirdest of times, and sometimes recalls truly awful things for no reason? God says those memories have no hold, no influence, no power on us. When we follow him, we travel in his direction, forward, ever forward. And remember, it's not just disasters that can tip us off course. We can be distracted by past successes, living in their glory, so we don't actually look forward to see what's coming next for us. Fourth D, determination. I press on toward the goal to win. You don't get to be the next Mo Farah or Usain Bolt by reading books, by listening to lectures, by watching Netflix, or even by studying videos on YouTube. You get to be the best by practice, practice, practice. And that takes effort, willpower, determination. We should put as much, if not more, effort into running the Christian race as we do into our other interests, our sports, our jobs, the football, the fishing, golf, music, reading, knitting, whatever it is that you spend your time doing. God deserves, God is worthy of, our biggest, strongest, fiercest efforts. And we have to avoid two things. Thinking, I am the only one who can do it, and doing everything. And the other side, letting go and letting God do it all. Being pig-headed or ego-led or simply rubbish at delegation isn't determination. It's weakness. It's not asking for help from colleagues, friends, family, even God. And being passive, saying God will do it, is equally wrong. We are given our strengths, our assets, our skills, our abilities, our friends, our families, our work situations. We are given all of those to serve God, to follow him, and to work for him, not to sit back and idly wait. So we're called neither to sit back and do nothing or work on our own. We need to be determined to follow God, to learn about him by word and prayer and fellowship and working together. And then we will achieve the prize, the reward of the kingdom, and our place in eternal life. Dissatisfaction, devotion, direction, determination. It's these qualities, these attributes, these attitudes, these disciplines that shape our ambition and help us as we push towards the goal, the prize. Because our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. What a prize! What a goal! Paul recognises it. Paul encourages the Philippians to persevere, to have one new, one single ambition. He wants them to have that dissatisfaction with their faith life, that devotion to Christ, that laser-focused direction, that strong discipline he himself had, that determination. So he and they knew, and we know, where we are headed. I can think of no better words to finish this than Paul's exhortation in chapter 4, verse 1, here from the Message version. My dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy, fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track. Steady in God.